this evening. I'm not
saved by feeling, but it sure does feel good to be saved. Glad there is a tug on the other end. Glad that I know, amen, that I've got an anchor that's steadfast and sure. I'm glad it's anchored over on the other side. Amen. He's done went within the veil, made a way that I'd have the access to come to where He is. And He's not left us here comfortless, but He's given us the Comforter that we might have hope and peace in this walk of life. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number 20. Man, it's a good place up in here to preach tonight. Good liberty. Thank you for tuning us in. We're privileged that you would come and share this time. Please, on your Facebook pages, hit that like button, that share button, so that it'll go out to many other folk. Not that we're anything, but that the Word of God could get to as many people as it possibly can. Again, we're honored to be where we are tonight. Thank you again, Blue Ridge Baptist Church, for this privilege. Appreciate the Lord giving us strength. Want you to know that many of you have asked you to pray for Daddy. He got to come home yesterday from the hospital. He's still weak, but we're thankful that he's home. Ask you that you continue to remember him. And then I want to be reminded this evening, I've been studying in the book of Psalms 121, and I've been wanting to preach out of there for 2-3 weeks now, and the Lord's not giving me the green light. That's where I was going to go tonight, but I believe by all divine intervention, this is where I'm supposed to be. Jeremiah chapter number 20. Let's look together in the first 12 verses in this chapter. The Bible says, "Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. And for thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all of Judah unto the land of the or into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the king of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, and which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and thou hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard of the faming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and they will report it. And all my familiars watch for my halting. See, peradventure, he will be enticed, and he shall prevail against him. And we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, thou triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart. Let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I opened my cause. Lord, we thank you this evening for Jeremiah. Thank you for that, Lord, you give him to prophesy and to preach. I pray now, Lord, that we might take this portion of Scripture Scripture. And Lord, that we might illuminate it. How by the help of the Holy Spirit and the boys, girls, men and women all around this world. I pray that you'd challenge the child of God. I saved that one that's lost. And Lord, for that one that's going and staying on the fire lines, encourage him or her to keep going on for the glory of God. Lord, for every need that's been made known. Lord, even those that we've talked to today, those that are on Facebook, Lord, that have need, I pray that you might read them and meet them according to your riches and glory. And now for a little while, Lord, I ask you to uphold your servant, give him strength, and we'll be careful to give you thanks. Christ's name, how we make our plea. Amen. Again, I appreciate the tug this evening. Appreciate the Lord coming by. I want you to look with me. It'll take me longer to give you a foundation than it will to preach tonight. I want you to notice with me in verse number 1. We've got to deal with a particular individual. There's two individuals here that's prominent in this chapter. We have a man by the name of Pasher and a man by the name of Jeremiah. One was a godly man. One was not a godly man. I want you to notice in verse number 1. The Bible said that Pasher was the son of Emir, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord. I want you to know, friend, there's a warning here that the Lord begins to show us. I want you to notice his position in verse number 1. I want you to notice that he was the son of the priest. I mean, many times we pick on people for being preachers' kids and being mean. And the only way that preachers' kids ever got mean was by playing with the deacon's kids. Amen. But I want you to realize, not only was he the son of the priest, but he was also the chief governor in the house of the Lord. With a title like that, surely you would think that he'd be a godly man. From his connection and his official position, you'd expect him to have some sympathy for Jeremiah for being thrown into jail. But he was at intimacy with the Lord's purpose. Can I say this evening that a religious position does not always mean a religious condition? Amen. I want you to notice the word Amir. It means to be talkative. It means insane. He had said how this boy was known for his talking outside the gates. But notice with me in verses 1 and 2 how that is intimacy between towards the word of God. He heard Jeremiah prophesize these things, and you thought again that he'd want the word of God to go out to be the chief governor. How about instead, friend? He decided that he was going to oppose the word. How can I say this evening? As a straw may show which way the wind blows, so a word or a look may reveal the intimacy of the heart against the truth of the word of God. Amen. You can say that you love the word of God, but when you can't stand to hear it, it's another thing. How can I say unto you, sooner or later the mouth will speak the abundance of the heart. Sooner or later it'll come out what's on the inside. But notice in verse 3 that the Lord, notice what Jeremiah said unto him. Jeremiah said, boy, you might go around and call yourself Pasher. He said, but God has called you Magor Misabib. And you say, well, preacher, what's the big deal there? Well, I want you to realize that the word Pasher, the name Pasher, means most noble, or it means a joy to be around. But the Lord said that's not his name. The Lord called him Magor Misabib. That means a fear around about. And now Jeremiah said, listen, you might have everybody else in the church house fooled, but I want you to know something. He said, God's called you by your real name. And he said, it's a fearful thing to be around a man like you. I want you to realize his deceitful life. Look with me in verse number 6. He said, thou hast prophesied lies. His lies were manufactured to discredit the word of God. It was to pervert the right way of the Lord. You say, preachers, that's still go on today. It happened in Acts chapter 13. Y'all remember Elimanus? He was a sorcerer and he did everything he could to destroy the work of God. Friend, there's always been people down through the ages of time trying to destroy the work of God. And can I say unto you, if you go to church long enough, if you listen on Facebook long enough, there'll be somebody that'll discourage you and want you out of the Word of God. They'll tell you that there's some problems in the Word of God. God, there's some conditions that don't meet. You can't live, and I've got news for you. You cannot keep every page of this Bible, every day, every moment of your life, except by the help of the Holy Ghost, except by the help of the Lord. Can I say unto you, notice not only his deceitful life, but notice his doom. In verse number 4, the Bible said, and I will make thee a terror unto thyself. And notice now, I'm going somewhere with it. Just stay with me. What could be more terrible? A man a terror to himself and to his friends. A sinner carrying his own brimstone in his own bosom. A product of his own doings. Who shall deliver him from the body of death? Now we've talked about Magor, Misabib, or Pashur in this, but I want you to look at the prophet tonight. And this is where my heart is. I want you to notice with me in verses 7 down through 12 is where I'd like to preach tonight with the help of the Lord. I look with me. He said, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived." He was overcome by the enticing influence of the Word of God. And notice what he said in verse 7 and 8. He said, "There thou art stronger than I." And he said, "You've prevailed." He said, this is the initial experience of a true prophet, preacher, or Christian. He himself must lay hold and overcome by the power of God's truth that's to speak. You remember Jeremiah chapter number 18. It's a very familiar scripture that many of us use, talking about going down to the potter's house, or the potter's house. And as he goes down to the potter's house, the Lord asked him in Jeremiah 18 and 6. He said, "Jeremiah, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand." The Lord was telling Jeremiah, he said, "Don't you remember?" He said, it wasn't just a few chapters ago in your life or a few days ago that Jeremiah was reminding you that the house of Israel was just like a piece of clay with some water on it. I wet it down. I took it out of a place that nobody else would take it from. I put it up on the potter's wheel. I began to mold it and I began to make it. Jeremiah, you're still in my hands right now. Jeremiah, I know it don't look real good. You're locked up in stocks. You've got a man that's lying on you. You've got a fellow that's let you down. And Jeremiah, yourself, you've even said that you're not even going to mention nothing else in my name. And you've been mocked by men. And I want you to realize something, Jeremiah. Notice, he said, "Jeremiah," he said, "you made a strong statement to me." He said that you said that I'm in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me. If you study that word derision written in verse number 6, and I believe it's recorded in verse number 7. I'm sorry, I'll get it right in a minute. In verse number 8, you'll find the word derision mentioned twice in those chapters. And the reason that you'll find them there, that word derision, and y'all in this country people around here, you'll understand what I'm saying. I remember as a little boy, the first time I'd ever jumped into a pond, when it was hot, I thought swimming in a pond would be like swimming in the creek. But Brother Kirk, when I stood up in that pond, I realized that there was something in that pond that was not in the creeks. Down in the creeks, there's sand and rocks, and you could plant your feet firmly on it. But I found out when I stood up in that mucky, and that mud in that pond, that my legs began to go down, and the water that was once knee deep, it's now up about my chin. And that's what Jeremiah said. He said, "Lord, every day," he said, "I'm in a derision. Lord, I'm up to my neck in this. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to quit. Every man's mocking me. Everybody is against me. Lord, if you hadn't noticed, I'm even in stocks. I've been locked up in prison. Lord, I'm just even tired of preaching. I know that thou hast called me. I know that you're the potter and I'm the clay. But Lord, I'm just ready to quit." He said in verse number 9, he said, "I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Why should he preserve? Oh, how human. We should be more faithful to God if we were getting more personal profit and pleasure. But now listen to me. I notice in verse number 9, the Bible says in the early part of that verse, he said, "Nor will I speak any more in his name." But thanks be unto God, verse 9 didn't end there. The Bible doesn't end there. But the Lord did put a period there. And he took a little word, a three-letter word, put a capital B on it. That little bitty "but." Hey man, thank God for the "buts" in the Word of God. The Bible said, "but." He said, listen to what he said. He said, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones."
And notice now, he didn't take away from what he was, but he said, and I was weary in forbearing, and I could not stay. Brother Kirk, he said that I was saying this. He said, Lord, again, I want to remind you, I'm in a derision, I'm tired, I'm laid down. He said, I wasn't going to make any more mention in your name. He said, but there was something shut up in my bones. I want you to realize, friend, I've had a trying week. I've been forced. It seemed like I've been this frustrated in trying to study and to prepare and to get something to Lord to settle something on my heart. I want you to realize, friend, it's been a derision. There's some of you listening to me this evening. You're in a derision yourself. You're taking care of mom and daddy. You're taking care of some elderly people. You're taking care of your grandchildren. Man, you're taking care of people that you're not used to normally taking care of. You're burdened down. You're ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to give up on life. Some of you have lost your job. Some of you been laid off. There's just struggle after struggle. Some of us have sat at home and been quarantined. And I mean, man, we're just been at a place of where we want to throw in a towel. But I'd like to preach a little while this evening on give me my towel back. Yeah, man, it might not look real good right now. But thank God there's some buts in the Word of God. I'm glad He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's full of everything that me and you stand in need of this evening. I want you to realize something, friend. Hey, man, this towel belongs to you. I want you to realize that when you entered into this fight, ever how long you've been battling it. I've been in the fight since February the 19th of 1995. Got saved by the marvelous grace of God. And friend, I want you to realize this towel belongs to me. It has my blood. It has my sweat. It has my tears. And I won't say something to you. Somebody said, but preacher, don't you know that when the boxer gets done and he can't go on another mile, that person that trains him, he'll take the towel and throw it in for him. I'll say something to you, friend, if you're a child of God this evening, you'll never see the Lord throw in your towel for you. He'll look at you and say, boy, girl, man or woman, thank God he won't call you that. He won't be that impersonal. He'll call you by name. He'll say, Chris, go back and get your towel up. He'll say, Kurt, go back and get your towel. Wipe off a little blood. Wipe off a little sweat. Go on another mile. Brother Poncho, I hadn't liked the way the churches went in the last month. But the Lord reminded me, just pick up my towel. Wipe off, clear my vision so that I can go on for another mile. Can I say to you this evening, friend, some of you will be out of church in another year and you'll try to be wondering what you're going to do. I want to encourage you, child of God, pick up your towel. Get back on an old faithful Baptist church pew somewhere and get in there and not only just sit down, but tell that man of God that you want to do something for the glory of God. Hey, say, hey, if you've got an ability to sing, find yourself faithful. When the choir goes back to practicing, find yourself in the choir loft practicing. Hey, man, you used to be a Sunday school teacher. Let me say something to you. You just can't walk back to that position. But you can get back in the house of God and get found faithful. Because, friend, the church of the Lord, it's not going down, it's going up. As somebody said, preacher, the church is going to die and be buried. You're wrong. Jesus said, I built my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Friend, I'm not looking for an undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Hey, man, I want you to know something. I'm on the way up. It might not look real good right now. Honey, I might have a few blows and it looks like. But thank God, friend. You remember when that old boxer, he'd be about ready and knocked out. The curtain, that bell would ring. He'd go back over there and that little old guy would bring out him a stool and let him sit down and squirt some water in his face. Jeremiah said, it's because of the water. It's because of the word that's shut up in my bones. Honey, I'm glad that there's something down deep in my soul that's caused me to go on another mile. Honey, I want you to know something. It's just not a stirring of the world. The world doesn't have given me that desire it did. I believe the writer of Proverbs said in 24:24. As the water is, as cold waters is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I want you to realize that some of you are sitting out there saying, boy, just preacher, when we get the chance, we're going to get back in the house of God. We're going to worship like we used to. We're going to be faithful. Don't say it. Pick your towel up. Wipe off the church hurt. You say, but preacher, you don't know how bad I was hurt in church. I want to ask you this. How much did the Lord do to you? You show me when the Lord's been bad to you. You show me when the Lord's kicked you when you're down. You say, but preacher and church folk, they're hypocrites. You better believe they are. But there's hypocrites at Walmart and you keep going. There's hypocrites in the creek and you keep on fishing. May I say to you, you'll find hypocrites in the house of God because they're imperfect people. But friend, I want you to know something. I want to climb up in there with some folks that are trying to push on for the glory of God, that's picked up their towel, that's why off their sweat and decided that they're going another mile. I look, I want to say to you, some of you will say this, the devil's going to tell some of you, oh, it don't matter if you stay in this thing. Listen, I don't care how you start, but it's all in how you finish. Everybody don't get a medal, friend, for starting the race, but it's that person that crosses the finish line, those that press on for it. Now, Brother Poncho, this evening I was looking and I was thinking about some famous boxers. And I looked up the 50th famous sayings from the boxers, Brother Kurt. But I decided I was going to narrow it down to 5 and not bore you to death. Now, I'm not a fan of all these men, but men that have stood in the ring, that have fought fist to fist, toe to toe with other men. They had something to say that's made a difference. Oh, Ali said it this way. He said, I hated every minute of training. I can say amen right there. There's been moments of life that I've hated. It's not been joy to go through some of the things that I've been through. But I'll say this. He said, I hated every minute of training. But I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion. Man, ain't that good Bible advice this evening? You say, preacher, you can't find that in the Bible. Yeah, man. Paul said, press on towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Friend, forgetting those things that are behind. Hey, neighbor, I still believe Luke 9:62 is written in my Bible. The Bible said that a man that's looking back while he's plowing is not fit for the kingdom of God. Press on, child of God. Can I say to you, when you go out to your car and sit down in the morning, I want you to notice something. The windshield is 90 times bigger than the rearview mirror. The Lord wants you and I to look forward and press forward instead of looking back what's behind. Then there was the motto. He said this. He said, the hero and the coward both feel the same thing. He said, but the hero uses his fear. He projects it into his opponent while the coward runs. It's the same thing. It's fear, but it's what you do with it, what matters. You said, preacher, are you fearful? Friend, I want you to know something. I was fearful the day that I got saved, but I'm glad that my fear has stepped into faith, and that my faith has carried me further than my fears have ever carried me. As sometimes I might not look that way, but I want you to know with me, I've stepped on some uncharted waters because of what the Lord's done in my life. And I'm glad this evening that I've reached back. I've picked up my towel and I've decided to go on another mile. Manny Pacquiao said this. He said, if you work hard in training, he said, the fight will be easy. Hey, man, think about that for just a minute. You say, preacher, you got Bible for that? The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. Yeah, man, you say, what do you mean? I'll say unto you, friend, it'll be joy in the journey for the child of God that perseveres. You say, how do you know? Jesus said, he that endures to the end, he shall eat of the tree of life. He said, I'll grant him to sit on the throne with me. Say, where's that found? Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 3. Hey, man, punch open, it ain't there, I'll eat it. And then Aaron Mike Tyson said this. He said, yeah, you never lose until you actually give up. I ain't a big fan of Mike Tyson, but that's one of the greatest statements that I've ever read, written by a man. You never actually lose until you give up. Man, how many There's some of us on the verge right now. Our eyes have been swelled together. They've been beat together by the enemy. We've been down. We've been out. I mean, man, we've all but just throwed the towel in and climbed back to the corner, climbed back to that little old manager and said, please just take me home. But there's some of you, a friend, you're within claw and reach of getting your towel. Reach and get it. Wipe the sweat. Wipe the tears and go on. But Rocky Balboa said this. He said, it ain't about how hard you can hit. Think about this now. We all in the Christian walk want to think of offensive in everything that we do, in what we've done. But he said this. He said, it ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can be hit and keep moving forward. Think about that for just a minute. Listen, I've run into them old saints of God that's pressed on another mile, that's drugged their legs beyond and on and with them when they've been lame, when they've been hurt, when they've been down and out and they've made it another mile for his young bucks to come on behind them. I want to say to you this, friend. I want to keep my towel up. I thought about this a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to share it here. And I asked that little feller to come and sing for me. But I got a little 5-year-old back at the church, a little Tucker. And he sends me videos every now and then. And we've learned that song at the church. Everybody will be happy over that. He don't quite sing it that way, but he's got his own version of it. But he sends me those little verses and he sings those to me. And he just don't know how much that encourages me to go on another mile. And I want to say this, friend. It's caused me not to want to lay down my towel. Brother Kirk, it's not even wanting me to want to get it away from my hand anymore. I just want to tuck it in right here somewhere just so I can just reach and get it. So, Lord, don't let me get back where I used to be. Lord, don't let me get back flat on my back. Lord, while I'm upright and pressing on for you. Lord, help me to stay up. And Lord, not only that, but if I can't wipe my blood, sweat, and tears, help me to wipe that blood, sweat, and tears of that preacher up there at Blue Ridge. Lord, help him to press on. He's got many more years before him. He's got a work before him that he's just started in. Lord, help me to encourage Kurt and Kenny to keep on singing. Let me encourage Hayden to keep on running the sound system. Let me encourage Chris to keep on getting a cold drink of water for the preachers that come and preach. It'll not lose its reward. A church